Right now on WNCW, we present this week's edition of More to the Story. I'm Paul Foster. Our guest this week is from the Charlotte Observer, political reporter Jim Morrill. Jim, good morning.
Hey, Paul.
Jim, I'd like to begin talking with you about fallouts that came from comments made by a Charlotte City Council member, pretty harsh against any Republican.
Yeah, you know, these kind of comments in this environment are guaranteed to stir something up. Basically, what she said was that anybody who voted for Trump has no place in city government or running for council or running for mayor. She's a Democrat who represents a district who was appointed. She's running this year for the first time in her own right. You can understand that comments like that are not going to play well, especially with Republicans. And she got a lot of flack both locally from Republicans and from the state party, which kind of took her to task about that. I guess, yeah, the flip side of the coin is that she's running in a Democratic primary for an at-large city council seat. Maybe it won't hurt her in a Democratic primary.
Jim, I believe not long after the announcement was made by this council member, the next council meeting that came up was covered by a Charlotte TV station, and I know many of the people that came to that meeting were even citizens that were not citizens of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County wanting to voice their opposition towards what she had said.
Yeah, you're right. In fact, there was a protest before that council meeting, and I think some people did drive in, and there was a news conference before the meeting, and then during the meeting, they all sat, I think, quietly during the meeting, and the council member, whose name is Dimple Augera, gave a statement but didn't say anything else about it. You know, I think there's a group of Republicans who just aren't going to let this stuff go by. Somebody told me, a Republican operative told me, that even the White House was aware of this. Who knows with what's going on in the White House anymore, but these kind of things do have ripple effects, and sometimes they go beyond what the person who said them intended or expected.
She certainly has the right to her opinion and stands strong in her belief, and maybe more than anything, it was about what has been considered by many to be hurt and disrespectful comments that have come from the President of the United States or out of Washington, and maybe she just didn't find the best way to respond to that. But I think you have to look at the entire picture, don't you?
I think you're probably right. I mean, there's a lot of ways that she could have meant it. I didn't personally talk to her about it. But, you know, there are a lot of people down here that would agree with her just on the face of it, a lot of people being a lot of Democratic voters. I think it didn't hurt her among the people that she was trying to reach.
Let's now shift to the mayor's race in Charlotte, the money that's also being spent in the mayor's race. I know campaign reports just came out earlier this week, and you presented a story on this.
Yeah, they came out. We wrote a story about that. And the incumbent, Jennifer Roberts, has outraised and has more money than her Democratic challengers. But she's got a couple pretty high-profile challengers in the Democratic primary. One is State Senator Joel Ford, and the other one is Bi Lyles. She's the mayor pro tem and has been on city council for a few years. So it looks to be a contested Democratic primary. What was interesting, one of the angles of the story was that a lot of the fallout over HB2 is still kind of being reflected in the money in the mayor's race. Jennifer Roberts, who was a big advocate of the ordinance, the anti-discrimination ordinance that led to HB2, got a lot of money from the Human Rights Campaign, the National Gay Rights Group, and some other LGBT advocates were among her contributors. And Joel Ford, interesting that as a Democrat in a Republican-controlled General Assembly, he's always portrayed himself as somebody who can work with Republican leaders. And he got money from like 8 or 9 legislative leaders, you know, Republicans who run the General Assembly. He got money from the Rules Chairman in both the House and the Senate, the Republican Senate Majority Leader. Contrast those donations, which amounted to about $9,000. So that's kind of an unusual thing going into a Democratic primary. The Republican candidate, a guy named Kenny Smith, who's on the city council, he's sort of got no major primary opposition. So he's looking to November, and he's just stockpiling money for that.
HB2 in North Carolina, we come back to that one way or the other, seems like quite often. By the way, Jim, when will voters go to the poll to begin the process of narrowing down those candidates in the race for mayor?
You know, a lot sooner than we think. We think of August as kind of a dead month, but the primary is September 12th, so that's only 6 weeks away, and early voting starts on the 24th. It's going to be kind of an accelerated campaign, and the mayor's race has gotten a good bit of attention here. Because it's a pretty heated race already, some of the local town races also kind of go under the radar. They are generally nonpartisan, so they generally vote in November. Kind of hard to get attention for those races.
With me from the Charlotte Observer, you're listening to Jim Morrill on WNCW's More to the Story. Jim, the familiar name of Mark Harris is back in the news. He actually made an announcement just a day or two ago.
Well, he released a video. I guess that's the way people make announcements these days. It was sort of anticlimactic in a way because Reverend Harris had said that a few weeks ago that he was going to quit his job as pastor of First Baptist Church and run for Congress again. It's been reported before that he was going to make another run at it, and this was maybe a little bit more official, and there may still be an official announcement sometime. That's the way people do it these days. But Dr. Harris ran for the Senate, people in your area may remember, in 2014 against Tom Tillis and a field of Republicans in the primary and lost that. Only last year, in 2016, he ran in the primary in the 9th Congressional District against Robert Pittenger. He only lost the primary by 134 votes. I think he feels certainly emboldened by that performance to try again. You know, what's changed since then is that Congressman Pittenger was sort of in the shadow of an FBI investigation over some business practices, and that's since been lifted. That won't be an issue anymore for him, and Pittenger has been down here going around the district. It's a new district, as all of them are down here. His district used to be pretty much Mecklenburg and Union counties and a little bit of Idle County, and now it goes all the way to Cumberland County. Looks like we may have a reprise of what we had in 2016.
A man full of knowledge when it comes to politics, a political reporter from the Charlotte Observer, our guest this week on More to the Story. Jim Morrill, thank you so very much.
My pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
WNCW's More to the Stories are also available as a podcast on our website, which is wncw.org. I'm Paul Foster.